And welcome to Coast. I am David Rubin. And for the next 3 hours, we have the amazing John Lear. Tell you a little bit about John Lear. John is a retired airline captain and former CIA pilot, as well as the son of the famous inventor of the Learjet. He has flown over 150 test aircraft and has won every award granted by the Federal Aviation. You think about that. That's pretty amazing. And he's worked for 28 different aircraft corporations. During the 1980s and early 1990s, John began to come forward with amazing information about unidentified flying objects and even more strange things that are happening, including this, a hybrid world, the plan to modify and control the human race. We talk about GMO. What is GMO? Genetically modified organism. Are we being overwritten by science? That's the question we will ask, because many people live in fear, and I have to say I'm one of them. What am I eating and what's it going to do to me? But beyond that, what's going on behind closed doors as scientists and corporations breach the genetic codes that separate individuality of animals and plant species on Earth? That is frightening. I'm David Rubin. My guest tonight will be John Lear. And you're listening to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm David Rubin. Laboratories around the world are honing their skills while our humanity and dignity as a species is on the operating table like a universal Frankenstein. Think about it. They're splicing and dicing us. Tonight, what's happening to the human race? John Lear is my guest. Welcome to Coast, John.
Thanks, Dave. It's nice to be here.
It's such a great pleasure to be able to speak with you. You've had so many amazing revelations to share with us. I really have to understand what's happening with genetic engineering because I'm frightened of it. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, there's a lot that we can cover, and yes, I have had a lot of revelations, and what I'm going to do tonight is, since I'm approaching old age, I'll be 72 next birthday, I thought I'd give most of what I know, secrets and conspiracies, in just in one long episode here. But first, I'd like to make a public apology to my good friend Bill Burns. He's appeared on the History Channel's television documentary, Ancient Aliens, and I am the UFO Hunters, and really a good friend. And what happened is he came up here in 2009 to film me for one of these episodes. And while they were doing something, I forget, changing the film or camera or something, I walked outside to the patio, and one of the guys came out. Unfortunately, I said it was Bill, but it wasn't Bill. It was another guy. And he starts talking, and he says, we were talking about Dulce, and he says, John, you don't really believe any of that, do you? That this is just for the show, isn't it? And it so ticked me off that that the next interview I got, which wasn't with him, somebody else, I said, you know what Bill Burns said? Well, it wasn't Bill, and I'm here to make an apology to Bill. Bill, I'm sorry I said that. I didn't mean it, and you didn't say that. So there it is.
Well, that's so anyway. You know what? That's very good of you. Go ahead. Now, let's go ahead and you start wherever you want to. I want to hear the whole thing laid out.
Okay. Now, when I start talking here, remember the theory of cognitive dissonance.
Okay.
And the theory of cognitive dissonance is the mind involuntarily rejects information not in line with previous thoughts and or actions. So we're going to start with secrecy, not in any particular order here, but I'll just run through them, and then we'll elaborate on the ones that you think need elaboration on.
Okay.
Number one, the Cold War never existed. The Cold War was a fake war between Russia and the U.S. so that they could concentrate on dealing with the alien question. Fukushima, what caused that tsunami was an atomic bomb set off 120 miles to the northeast of Fukushima by the Israelis. And what happened was that the Israelis got a contract to operate all of the 52 nuclear plants for Japan. And unbeknownst to them, which they did find out later, was Japan was selling high-grade nuclear material to Iran. So they got irritated, and what they did is they set off this bomb, nuclear bomb, which which caused a tsunami, and then they proceeded to shut down the automatic controls on the nuclear reactors so that they wouldn't protect themselves. And you can watch the film of the tsunami. You won't see any building shaking or anything falling down. It's just the water. So we'll talk a little bit about that later. I want to say the prior civilizations of Earth, before I talk about how ours got here, was Lemuria, Atlantis, Kukulkan, and a few others. Jumping over to the Kennedy assassination, it was everybody thinks it, you know, was maybe the mob or some. Every time I hear something about that, it's they're blaming somebody else. What it was actually the Mossad. And what happened was David Ben-Gurion was the prime minister of Israel, and he was upset because Kennedy kept pressing for access to Dimona. Dimona is where Israel made all their atomic bombs.
Yes.
And they wouldn't admit they had any or were making any. And so when Kennedy made his last pressing effort, Ben-Gurion just said, get rid of him. And so Mossad was the one that got the the word in the summer of 63. And the CIA did participate, but it wasn't their deal. What happened was James Jesus Angleton, who was the CIA chief of station in Rome, was sent down in 1947 to Israel with MI6, England's CIA, to help Israel form their own CIA. And somehow Angleton got entwined with Israel, beholden in some manner, so that when he came back in the 1960, he was appointed chief of foreign intelligence. And his big deal, if you read any of his books, is he was going to find the Russian mole, and that was his whole deal. Well, the fact was, he was just giving information back to Israel, who was feeding it to the Russians, and he was the mole himself.
Oh my gosh.
Now, another thing, Yuri Gagarin, we think is even the first man in space. He never went into space. The highest he ever got into space was the ladder that he climbed to be on top of the space capsule that was allegedly going to launch him into space, but he never went. There's another interesting thing here that that I like. Dinosaurs existed 3,000 years ago and were friendly with man. As a matter of fact, in South America, the stones that Dr. Javier Cabrera has found in the Andes are delicately carved stones with all kinds of pictures of humans interacting with dinosaurs, riding on their backs, playing with them, all kinds of stuff like that. And we'll cover a little bit about that later.
Excellent.
Katrina, if I wanted to mention here that Katrina was a perfect example of how you use HAARP to guide storms around. And you can look at the radar cross-section of Katrina going right straight towards New Orleans. Like it was guided. And so that's what we're able to do with HAARP. As far as manned rockets, we're told that since the shuttle is no longer going up, that we use the Russian rockets. Well, we do, but we also have our own. And we have manned rockets, and I think included in those are the Delta IVs, Thor, and Sea Launch. And we use those to put the astronauts in office. We have an astronaut corps, I estimate, between 500 and 700 people. And the way that they, the place that they launch them from, everybody says, well, we don't hear anything about it down at Cape Canaveral. It isn't that busy. Well, most of the launches are from the Ronald Reagan Ballistic Missile Defense Test Site, which is commonly referred to as the Reagan Test Site. And it's was formerly the Kwajalein Missile Range. And this is an area that covers 750,000 square miles and includes rocket launch sites at the Kwajalein Atoll. They also use Wake Island, and I suspect they may be using Johnston Island. The Apollo space mission. Now, I know there's a lot of people who really do think that we went to the moon, but we did not. There's so much evidence that that we didn't go, and one of them is one of the evidences from Alexander Popov, a Russian who did a study of all the films of the launch, and he had plenty to work with, and there's no single film, no film that ever showed the second stage going off. As a matter of fact, the films that we do have show the first stage slowing down so that it could not possibly reach orbit.
You know, I've had discussions with friends of mine about this, and I'm with you on this one. I don't see the evidence that we went there. There was too much that was too perfect about it for me.
Yeah, especially the photographs, too perfect.
Absolutely.
I think they, of all the 5,000 photographs, they did a study, and of all the astronauts, all the time they spent on the moon, they would have had to take one photo every 30 seconds to have made that many photos. Anyway, Mercury and Gemini, not all those were went into space either. A lot of those were faked. Apollo 1. Four astronauts were murdered in that supposed accident. And what they were doing is were getting at Gus Grissom for being so critical and for allegedly getting ready to expose the moon fake. And the fourth person was a secret astronaut from the secret program who replaced Joe Shea. Joe Shea was the head of the Apollo program, and he was the one that usually went on these test missions. Now, everybody says, well, I can't be a fourth person. It's too small in there. Well, actually, it's not, because if you sit the opposite to the way the astronaut sat in there, you can put your feet down in the cargo bay and lean against the control panel. And there's plenty of room. And Joe was usually the guy that helped him work out the problem, but he had to be in New York that day, and he couldn't be there, so they put in this other astronaut. And the reason they couldn't tell you about the other astronaut is because if we'd have discovered him, it would have led to the secret space program. An interesting thing here, I have the day that the Apollo 11 mission got back in July of 1969, these people resigned from NASA. Bill Hess, chief of NASA scientist, Houston, Albert King, a geologist, curator of the lunar samples in the Lunar Receiving Laboratory, P.R. Bell, chief of the Lunar Receiving Laboratory, and Donald Weiss, National Academy of Sciences. So if those four guys resigned on the arrival of alleged arrival of Apollo 11, you got to figure something was up. Now, what they've done is the people that research those four names find out that they scattered them around, some before, some after that date. But the fact is they all resigned on that date. Now, the secret space program that I keep talking about has hundreds of astronauts, all from the Army, Navy, Air Force, and NASA and other teams. A little bit about global warming, total nonsense, as is the carbon release program. The war against drugs, the war is trying to get those guys cutting in on the government's business. And Afghanistan is now the largest supplier of illegal drugs. 96% of the world's supply comes from Afghanistan. The north part, the Hindu Kush, is where the large areas are. And I have a friend of mine that flew B-1s over there. We were talking about this, and he said, I wondered why that was a no-fly area. He says, the whole Hindu Kush, you know, is outlined no-fly. He says, I asked my wing commander once why we can't bomb there, and he didn't have an answer. But the answer is that's why we're growing all the opium, so we can't bomb our own fields.
Makes sense that we're pulling our troops out.
Yeah. Osama bin Laden, there's been a lot said about him. He died in Kuwait in 2001 of medical problems. I forget what it was, but I remember that well. And so all this stuff we've seen about the SEALs going to get him is pure hogwash. The Mars rover Opportunity, when it landed in on Mars, I had the chance to be going through a remote viewing class. And the person that was running it, her husband, worked at Groom Lake on the the rovers, and they were now the class started at 9, and they were woke up and were watching it about 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning, and he looked at that film from Mars, and he said, "That's not Mars. That's in Death Valley. I know where that is." And she said, "Well, why would they do that?" He says, "I don't know."
So they're let's talk about for a second. Can we? Because is this all just propaganda for us? Is there something on Mars that really is something they don't want us to know about?
Yeah.
Maybe an ancient civilization?
Not ancient. They live there right now. There's an entire 4 or 5 civilizations up there. That's where the Sasquatch or Bigfoot or whatever you want to call them come from. And it's so crowded up there that they don't want us to know. As a matter of fact, in our solar system, there's 40 planets, not 9, as we're told. There's 40 of them. And all of them are full of civilizations. Not only are the planets full, but their moons and satellites are full of civilizations. There's so much civilization in this solar system is absolutely unbelievable. But that's why they have to fabricate that stuff, is they don't want us to know what's really up there.
I agree.
Going on with 9-11, 9-11 was to fabricate hatred against the Arabs and the Muslims, to create TSA, the TSA, and to steal oil from Iraq. And I don't know why people still believe that there were real airplanes crashing into those buildings. I've been a pilot for 50 years. I've been on accident investigations. I'm a mechanic. I know the insides and outsides of airplanes, and there's just no possible way an airplane could have caused that kind of damage. Not only that, a pilot who had no time in a 767 could have taken over the controls and navigated down to New York and hit a building which is 208 feet in diameter, dead center. One was dead center, one was 34 feet off. There's just no possible way that could happen. And the Shanksville crash, of course, there was no airplane there. There was no parts. There was nothing there. But what happened is they were going to fake a airplane crashing into Building 7. And whatever they had to fake it, whether it was video fakery or holograms or whatever, became inoperable. So they had from 11 o'clock, when it was supposed to be demolished, until 5 o'clock, when they let the press in, to fabricate a complete crash site. That's why you didn't see anything except one brake rotor, and that was about it. A bunch of people standing around in hazmat uniforms, but that was it. There was no debris of any kind that would be there if an actual airplane crashed.
You know, I'd wondered about that, and this is solving some interesting mysteries, because there's so much deflection and there's so much confusion about what really happened, that putting a critical eye on it, as you're doing, is very refreshing.
Thank you. Now, the Pentagon was a flyover. An airplane came down and passed just north of the gas station there, and it flew low about 100 feet, and just as it was a beam that side of the Pentagon, they blew it up just using conventional explosives. And April Glaspie, her desk was only 40 feet from that explosion. And she had her 6-month-old son there, was in his baby seat under her desk. And when things came crashing down, she grabbed him and went through that hole, climbed out that hole onto the grass for the triage. And Army intelligence came over and asked what she saw. And she said, yeah, there was nothing, just an explosion. And they said, well, you saw an airplane. She said, no, I didn't see any airplane. She didn't smell any gas, no diesel fuel. There wasn't a drone. No, nothing came through that hole. It was just an explosion.
Let's come back to this. We got to talk more about conspiracies right here. I'm David Rubin, and you're listening to Coast with John Lear, coming right back. Yes, and welcome back to Coast. I am David Rubin. My guest, John Lear. So many conspiracies, so little time. I don't know how you, decide what is being told to you. How do we know who to believe? That's always been a question with everything. And of course, you know, the conspiracies are always right out in front of us. So the question is, are they really conspiracies, or are those conspiracy ideas just being blamed for something that we don't understand? I think that we have to step back and be very objective and look at it and decide for ourselves. The respect for government, it's in the toilet. The respect for the people who we think of as leaders, it's at its lowest ever. Respect for the United States around the world, all the way down the bottom of the cliff. What's happening to us as a country? That's the question. Where are we going? What's our future going to look like? I fear in many ways for the children of today. But then again, the truth will come out and the clouds will part and the sun will shine. And we will overcome all the obstacles that are upon us. So now we go back to John Lear, my guest John Lear, and we're talking about a lot of different ideas, John. One of them is World War II, plutonium supplied to us by the Nazis. Tell me about that.
That was offered by the Nazis at the end of World War II in order to get a number of, and I think the number is 3,000 Nazi scientists into the United States. And they figured they had the plutonium, they could make that, but we couldn't make it. We could make the bomb, but we didn't have the plutonium. We couldn't make that. So that's what they knew, and they came to us and they said, we'll give you the plutonium if you'll let 3,000 of us in. And so between Alan Dulles, who was head of the CIA, John Foster Dulles, who was chief of state, and Eleanor Dulles, who was their sister and head of the Berlin desk, they managed Operation Paperclip. And that was to get all of those Nazis in. And of course, they infiltrated all the large companies and took over NASA. It was NACA, and then it became NASA. And they took that over and have been running it ever since.
Tell me about the Tunguska explosion.
That was an ET derived explosion for a large number of people who were unsatisfactory. Now, whether they were mankind, they weren't from Earth, they were from somewhere else, and they had to destroy them, and that was what happened at Tunguska. It was a kind of a vehicle that carried a lot of people, and I don't know how many, and they blew them up. And that's what they did with the planet that was between Mars and Jupiter. They blew that up because that civilization got too far out of line. And there was nothing else to do but just get rid of the planet.
Tell me about the UFOs in the Year of the Dragon and A Day with E.T. What happened
there? That's a fantastic book. And if the... if you guys, anybody that's listening in your library, if you're interested in UFOs, conspiracies, or not so much conspiracies, but UFOs and where we came from and what it's all about, you got to get these books written by Lou Baldin. That's Baldin. You can get it at Amazon, .com or Lulu, .com. Any of those places handle the books. And there's one, UFOs, The Year of the Dragon. There's one, A Day with an Extraterrestrial. And there's another one, UFOs. Let's see, UFOs. Oh, In League with UFOs. He's written a lot of other stuff, and also there's a lot of his writings on above.secret.com. That will give you as much information as I have and bring you completely up to date. And also, I'm going to cover a little bit of that later. Another book you should have in your library is Where Did the Towers Go by Judy Wood. And that is a fantastic book full of color illustrations and pictures and tells you all about how they destroyed the World Trade Centers with a direct energy weapon. The other book that I recommend is by, Perry Spalter. She wrote The Gravitational Force of the Sun in 1993 and really, really exposed Einstein for the fraud he was. He was a mathematician, but not a very good one. And he came up with some really dumb stuff, which he created into E equals MC squared. Everything that was written or made was predicated on that things can't travel faster than the speed of light. And of course, there's many things that can travel faster than the speed of light. Mesons for one, anti-mesons for one, superluminals for another. There's a whole host of them, and I'll read them a little bit later. But
what about Newton's international law of gravity? I'm curious about that.
What she does is she went into Kepler's writings, and she found that the real equation for gravity is not what Newton said it was. Those numbers, m1 plus m2 over r squared, is bogus. Somebody put that in after Isaac Newton died. It wasn't him. The fact is gravity has nothing to do with the density or the mass of an object. And so what she does is proves this in her book, Gravitational Force of the Sun. And I wrote a 15-page essay. Her book is lengthy, and you got to know a little math. Not that much, but a little math to get it.
Okay.
If you buy the book.
Hang on for a minute, because we've got to take a break. We'll come back and talk about this and many other things, including the Hubble Space Telescope with John Lear. I'm David Rubin, and you're listening to Coast to Coast. I'm David Rubin, and my guest tonight, John Lear. And this is Coast to Coast AM. And John, let me ask you a question. With all of these amazing things that you're laying out for us, there's got to be some kind of organization going on to do all these things that you're telling us about. I mean, is there an underground, a secret government? I mean, how do you explain so many things being controlled and the misinformation that's being put out? How do you explain all that?
Well, of course, I've only told you about a third of what I'm going to be telling you tonight. But yes, there is a secret government. And after I get done with all the things that I know, I'll tell you that it is only 1/1000th of what we don't know.
So you can link to all of these bizarre and horrific things, for example, the weather. Can we tell me when we understood how to control the weather? I mean, I've heard of HAARP for years. If that's true, why would we use a weapon like that against ourselves? Let's say with Katrina.
Well, I don't know what the object is or object was of the of destroying New Orleans. They must have had something. There's a lot of speculation about what they could have gained by that. But, you know, I don't know what it is. I just tell you what happened.
So if we, let's say, for example, let's talk about the weather more. If we had the ability to do this, we would then use that as a weapon against, let's say, for example, those terrorists who are, you know, crossing our borders and trying to kill us. Is that something that we could do if we wanted to?
There are no terrorists crossing the borders. It's all a fiction. That was what 9/11 was all about, was to create a terrorist. There are none. Between Gulf War I and Gulf War II, we launched 5,000 cruise missiles into Iraq just to irritate, you know, to get those people to think about the bad Americans doing all those bad things and create terrorists. That's so we could fight them. That's so we could have TSA and take over the Middle East, which is what we're after.
But then why are we pulling out of Afghanistan? Why did we go there, and now why are we leaving, if that's the case?
Well, we've accomplished about, let's see, Doonesbury had something really good about that. I can't remember what he said. The graveyard of empires.
Yes.
But, you know, it's just an effort that we don't need. We're out of personnel. We're out of things to fight the war. We need somebody else. We got to come up with somebody else to fight.
So in that sense, war is peace. It keeps our minds off of other things.
Exactly. And the war is promoted by ET. They're the ones that keep this up. And I'm going to go into this a little bit later, but I'll go jump ahead here and say that we're placed on Earth. There's about a billion Earths. They're all prison planets. All of us have lived hundreds of lifetimes before, but we've been sent down to Earth because we screwed up in a previous lifetime. And what we screwed up is we're supposed to learn how to live with integrity and without envy, hate, or greed, and to express our love to our families each and every day. And we haven't learned that, and that's why we're on Earth. So all of these wars and stuff are challenges for each and every person to deal with integrity and without envy, hate, or greed. And each one has his own challenges. They send each person, like if you find out you're overdrawn at the bank and you're behind in car payments and this and that and so on. Those are all challenges. Those are all made by ET to see if you can solve those things with integrity and without envy, hate, or greed. That's really all you have to worry about. That's why when you say you're afraid, you don't have to be afraid. All you have to do is live your life with integrity and without envy, hate, or greed, and to express your love to your family each and every day. And that'll take care of you. When you pass on, you'll go up to the fourth dimension. Now, Steve Jobs gave us a little hint there. Just before he died, a minute before he died, he said, "Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Oh, wow." And what he was seeing was the reception area. And the reception area is after you die, you go to the fourth dimension. Your soul does. Your body is not used after that. And if you believe in a God, then a God meets you. If you believe in Jesus, then Jesus meets you. If you're a Muslim, then the great creator meets you. If like me, if you believe in the great pumpkin, then the great pumpkin is going to meet me or anybody else who believes in him. And what they do is introduce you to all the people that you've met in your previous lifetimes. And after you say hello and all that, then you go into this room and they show you all the wonderful, great, loving things you've done all of your life, and then they show you all the nasty and awful things you've done all your life. And then they decide whether or not you've achieved living with integrity and without envy, hate, or greed. And if you haven't, then you come back to another one of the billion Earths that are here, prison planets. But if you have achieved it, then you go on to the fourth dimension, and things just get better and better and better from there.
So would you say then that Earth is kind of a proverbial hell in that sense?
Yep. Yep. It can be a hell. But there's other people that live here that it's nice. They have a good time because they're just on vacation down here.
Tell me about what you know about AIDS, the disease, the condition.
AIDS?
Yes.
Did you say AIDS?
Yes, I said.
Yeah, AIDS was developed by a Navy surgeon. His name was R.M. Donner, and that was in the 80s. And Bob Lazar, worked up at S4, read the cure for AIDS, and we had it, but what we couldn't get was the prime ingredient that you need for the cure was Trichosanthus kirilawi. It was a cucumber that only grew in Southeast Asia, and we couldn't get one. And we had, believe me, we had some really good operatives trying to get it. The last place it was in China. We tried to get it out of China, and somehow it got toasted on its way out of the country. And we don't know how they did it, but we never got it. We never got a good specimen of Trichosanthus kirilawi, so we couldn't try it. Now, if you look on the internet, there is plenty of sources for Trichosanthus kirilawi, but we don't know whether it's fake or not. But the object for AIDS was to get rid of 70% of the population, which of course didn't happen because it was supposed to occur in the 90s. So they stopped it for some reason, and I don't know why, but Bob Lazar and I had an interesting time. We tracked down R.M. Donner's home where he retired after leaving the Navy, and it was in New Mexico. And we made several trips there to his house, but we could never find him in. And so we never got to talk to him. We wanted to talk to him and see if he would tell us anything about it.
Let's move to the hollow Earth. Inside the Earth, you say there are civilizations.
Yeah, there's many civilizations inside the Earth. The reptilians live down there. They were here way before we were, and they've gotten kind of a bad rap. They're not as bad as made out to be. A lot of people that are saying their meetings with the ETs, reptilians, or that are frightening and terrible, and they could be, but a lot of that is screen memories. And they put those screen memories in so that you won't try to remember what's going on or what happened to you. Mostly, that's a objectivity of the grays. The grays are just robots. They're glorified. I'm trying to think of the word they call them. Cybernetic organisms, and they're just unbelievably intelligent and smart, but they're just robots, and they do whatever they're consigned to do. Now, there's at least 8 ET civilizations that are on Earth and directing our directing what's going on here. The one that's a bad one is the one that's in control now, and they like wars and they don't want to see us advance. The good guys are out in the perimeter waiting for a chance to come in and give us the scientific technology that we need to get rid of famine, to do all kinds of great things, but they can't do it now because they're not in charge.
Ronald Reagan's mentioned something in a speech, I believe it was at the UN, about clash of civilizations. Is that what he was talking about?
Yeah, he said, but I ask, isn't it true that we already have aliens around? Yeah, of course we do. We've had them for forever. As a matter of fact, they're the ones that actually made us. And go over here to thing I got here.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought, because we're going to take a break. John Lear, my guest on Coast to Coast, will come right back and continue this conversation. I'm David Rubin. My guest is John Lear. Many interesting things. You're listening to Coast to Coast. We'll be back.